What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle Corbliss. I'm really excited. It's going to be a great week. I'm stoked to have you here. I've been a fan for a long time, so I'm excited. Kimberly Kelly, thanks for coming to hang out with me.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be great. It's going to be so good. It's been a day, right? It's been a day. Flat tires. Four voices.
Scratchy voice. I will tell you also, I'm in our den. And our back door is right here, and Brett is making burgers. So you may hear the screen door go,
Great. I love it. You know how many times I've had my, like, because my washer and dryer is down here?
Oh, yeah.
How many times I get the zzz?
Yeah.
You know what? Let it roll. Yeah. But I'm really excited. I think you have a great sound, and I want to talk about some of your music here. I got to tell you this one story. I think we should just get this out of the way, and then we'll dive into the rest of it. Okay. But I go to a lot of shows. I have a lot of music memories. It's music, favorite thing in the entire world. And there are two music moments that stick out in my head. One of them, I talk about them all the time. The other one, I don't talk about as much. But the one I don't talk about as much is a few months back, probably May-ish, I saw Bruce Springsteen with my dad, and he played Jungle Land for the first time in like 20 years. And just witnessing that with my dad was pretty cool. That's the one I don't talk about all that much. The second one that I talk about more is when I was about 19, I went to see Garth Brooks.
Okay.
And that was probably within 10 shows, like my first 10 concerts, within that range.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably in the 40s now, but within the first 10, right, was about that time. And I talk about this a lot. I was there watching the show, and a guy named Mitch Rozell came out and played. And that changed my entire perspective on music. But there's also something else that happened that same night. I think you know where I'm getting at. a lady who has an insane voice named Karen Rochelle played a song like Summers Like That, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or played a song Summers Like That. And I listened to that song, and I said, whoa, like what? Like, how do you just come up with songs like that? Right. And that's, and I never got into songwriting before in my life. I never dove into it, but those two acts set up my entire perspective for that concert.
Oh,
and whether that is my favorite concert of all time or not, for me, that is one of my most important music memories. So I thought I should tell you.
It set you on this course.
Isn't that so cool?
I love that.
Yeah. So when your album came out, right, in 2022, I was going through it, and, one of my buddies was listening to it too, and he's like, I really like this song, Summer's Like That. And the second the song started playing, I was like, wait, I know this song. Where do I know it from? Because I've been listening to it for years. I was like, I know this song. Fantastic. I just thought I didn't tell you that. It's just
so know what's funny is, so I made an EP with Brett, my husband, in 2018. And then that caught the ears of David Macias, who runs 30 Tigers. And then I was just going to make a 30 Tigers record, which, if people don't know, they're not necessarily a record label. They're more of a distribution. So you own all your stuff, which basically just means they don't have a team that takes things to radio. They're just kind of, they help you put what you make out. They don't have as much money or budget. But then in that process, David started thinking, I still really think that there's a place for you on country radio. So why don't y'all go cut some songs that maybe, if you wanted to go that direction, because a lot of the stuff that's at 30 Tigers is very Americana-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been pitched Summers Like That a couple years before, and we always loved it because it's just so, it's very reminiscent of, say, Strawberry Wine.
Oh, I was gonna say that. Look at that.
Or Taylor Swift, Tim McGraw, or maybe it was all the songs that basically are listed in that song.
Yeah.
And, but also, if you don't know the song titles that are in that song, the song itself kind of tells its own love story.
Right.
It's just a great song, and great songs are timeless. So we did a version of it, turned it in, and then that's partially how I ended up getting signed to Show Dog, and they were like, okay, we'll go to radio with this.
Yeah.
So, and I have been an artist long enough, and I'm also a songwriter. Coming from Texas, you know, I had it ingrained in me that you have to write all your songs or you're not real. And I think it's coming back around a time mm-hmm. when people are just realizing the best songs need to win, and yeah. it doesn't matter if you write them or not. Yeah. So I don't mind being the vessel for, but there's only a handful of people that know the Karen Rochelle version. Yeah. And for them, it's even 10 times more gratifying because they're like, it's the song has found its wings.
And it's so funny because I'm a really firm believer in, I'll use this line. Like, you know how our church says it's funny how a melody sounds like a memory? I'm a really firm believer yeah. in that, because I believe, and I just has happened to me, which is why I think that. But there are songs that are moments in my life and I can remember them every single time I hear them. Right. And that's one of those songs. I remember how old I was when I heard it for the first time. I remember when I used to listen to it every single day and where I was when I was listening yeah. to it every single day. And also, like you said, you know, like the songs that are referenced in that song itself, if you are personally attached to the songs that are referenced, it just makes the song that much better. Yeah. But also there's another love story attached to it.
Then here's a perfect example. You don't think any more or less of me for cutting that. You're like, that's a great song.
Yeah. Damn straight. You should cut it. Of course.
Right.
It's what I like what you said, right? Like, cause you're a songwriter, like you said, and you're also an artist. And Parker McCollum said something once where he cut Like a Cowboy, and that was like his first ever outside cut. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, when I first put it out as a single, I got a lot of crap because I didn't write it. And that was the first thing after two records that he didn't write. And it was like this big thing. And then he was like, but my thought was, is like, I live the song and the song means something to me. So why not cut it? Because someone else wants me to cut it. Someone else wrote it for someone like me to cut it. So right. that's so important.
And there's writers who are simply born to be poets and just to write, and they can't, they need someone else to be the messenger. And so, yeah, it's all part of the right songs find the right people, or they should.
Yes, and that's I agree.
That's the stuff that stands the test of time.
I love it. I agree. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you like, you know, 4 years ago, I don't know if this is true. We can go back and listen, but 4 years ago, I was really on the best songs are the ones that are written by the people who put them out. But my mindset at some point changed, not far into it, because I realized really fast, like I said, I was really new to songwriting when I started doing this. So I realized pretty quick, that's not true. It's not true. The more you listen, the more you analyze, it's just not the case. And I love giving songs life. Like, I think, you know, for me, Summers Like That at Home with Karen, right? And now you extend it by putting it out yourself.
Right.
That's the best part.
Yeah. And if it ends up on the radio, I mean, it's also one of those things where it's also a great story of it being super old, but it still found its way. And I think even Thompson Square had a version of it.
I think they did, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they ever put it out, but I know it was pitched to them and I think they cut it.
Cool. Yeah. It's awesome. I think it's really, really cool. I love it. So why don't we, well, you mentioned Brett a couple of times. I think we could push it up. That's cool, right? That's really cool. So Brett Tyler, he's your husband, and he's written so many songs. Some of my favorites being Man Made a Bar, Larry Fleet, Three Chords and a Lie, another Larry Fleet cut. Wild Is Her, Here's Lies Country Music. One that you put on your record, Personally Mary, which I love.
Mockingbird and the Crow.
Mockingbird and the Crow. The list goes on and on, right?
Hold on, Brett. What did you write on the same day? Man Made a Bar and Things I Take for Granted.
Whew, phone a friend.
Sorry,
I like
he
it.
He just told me that yesterday.
Phone a friend. I like it.
It came up in like his memories or something where he was a year ago.
Yeah.
It's like, now, this is not the same as Dolly Parton writing Jolene and I Will Always Love You in the same day, but he did write Man Made a Bar and Things I Take for Granted in the same
day. Isn't that nuts? Like, I don't, for me, that's crazy. For me, that's absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I should probably tell you this. So I scroll through Twitter a lot, and I am, as do most, but I am I was born into a Minnesota Vikings family.
Oh, God.
My dad loves the Vikings.
Where are you from?
New Jersey, which is weird. My like born and raised in New Jersey. My dad born and raised in New Jersey, but just grew up a Vikings fan. And I sometimes see Brett tweet about the Vikings, which
bless
is
bless your heart. That's all he tweets tough. About and all he does on his normal Facebook.
It's rough though. It's a rough life. I'm telling you.
So you're a Vikings fan.
Unfortunately, yeah.
You know there's a Vikings bar in Nashville?
Is there really? I did not know that.
Will Hagen's.
Wow. All right.
Will Hagen's. They deck it out. You go in there. I mean, everybody's dressed in Vikings attire, the helmets, the horns and everything.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's funny because we got invited to something today that's on Monday. And I said, thank you for your invite, but the Vikings play on Monday night and Brett will definitely be watching the Vikings. And she goes, oh my gosh, when we were planning our event, she said, you know, I checked and there weren't a lot of local people who, like the bars were like, not a lot of local people will be watching this and it probably won't affect your event so much. And I was like, the one person it will affect in this town is Brett Tyler.
That's insane. Do you at least a little bit follow the Vikings?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan because I'm a Texan, but it's in a Rangers fan.
Wow. Good for you.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like we end up watching more Vikings games than we do the Cowboys. We switch in front of the Cowboys after the Vikings lose to try to feel better, and it doesn't all
perk it up. No, it is what it is. It's a tough fan to be a fan of, or a team to be a fan of. But you know, it's we'll have our day one day. One day we'll have our day. It's but I thought I should bring that up. So why I wanted to bring this up was because I think that's really cool that you are both, you know, super involved and very successful in music. But might I like, did you guys, and maybe this is too personal, but did you guys meet in Nashville as like, did you, how does that whole story go? Because I think it's really cool that you guys
actually,
are both writers.
Had mutual friends. We met in Key West.
Nice.
At the BMI Songwriters Festival. But we didn't meet writing. We didn't write songs together. We literally just became friends and then started dating and very much tried to keep things
separate. I love that. Yeah.
For the longest because we were both in different circles as far as music and business wise. Now our friend circle was intertwining, but not musically. And then eventually I wanted to make another album. It was kind of like, hey, I moved here to do this. Nothing's really happening. This is kind of my last ditch effort. And I trust you more than anybody. And we made that project for fun. And then, I mean, not for fun, but we were comfortable at that point. We'd been together a long time. And then that's what kind of got me to the next level. And because when I got signed to 30 Tigers and Show Dog, they said, well, just repeat what you just did. So now it's very much a natural. We still don't write together all the time. He runs ideas by me at home and I'll help him be like, well, this sounds like this or that, but we're not writing together.
Yeah.
But then also here recently, I've got a lot of girlfriends who are artists and they'll come over, we'll have dinner and we all write. Whereas he might not have gotten a write with that particular female artist until a little bit later down the road. So it's intertwined now, but he's such a commercial country writer. And I'm very much like a traditional leaning artist. Sure. So we don't naturally always combine together.
Organic. But I think that's kind of cool, right?
Like, yeah, it's great. It keeps it to where it's a good balance.
Yeah. I think that's, do you guys listen to different types of do you listen to different types of music? Like, is there stuff that you like that he doesn't like and vice versa?
Yeah. He listens to, you know, like the Jayhawks and stuff like that, more Americana-ish leaning stuff that I wouldn't naturally always, I mean, I love all that. It's just not my first. Whereas I was raised on country and Southern rock.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the country and the Southern rock stuff is, but he kind of goes outside of the box probably more than I do.
Okay. I think it's really cool because I think it brings so many different perspectives, right? And like, yeah, maybe you don't work together every day. And I honestly think that's good. That's really good.
We would be sick of each other.
Right.
We work together every day.
All music all the time, 24/7. Yeah,
no.
I don't know.
No.
It's cool to be able to bounce ideas off each other. That part's really cool.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like you both have an ear, right? So if you're like, hey, like, what do you think about this? He'll be honest, right? And he'll tell you if he likes it or not and vice versa.
Right. And it helps when we haven't been in the same room creating that because you're not as invested. So it is an objective ear, maybe. Is that the right word? Like, if I wasn't in the room, then yeah, you're right. I can say, no, I know you're intending that to sound, but it sounds like this. Whereas if I were in there too, I probably would have been like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I love it. I think that's really cool. And I think that the music powerhouse relationship is awesome. I think that's really, really cool. So, I figured I'd bring that up.
No, I love it. It's,
you get that part out of the way. I think it's important.
No, it's fun. It's my favorite.
It's a part of your story, right? It's a big part of your story.
I'm absolutely really cool. His biggest fan. My biggest fan.
That's so awesome. That's love.
Sometimes it does feel like though, like, something he's doing will be up here and something I'm doing will be down here.
Never.
And sometimes it's like this, like I'll be up here and he'll be down here. So, I mean, it is exhausting at times.
Sure. But there's, you know, it's, everything's exhausting, but I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
I think it's really cool. And I just wanted to bring that up. How was the opening for Shenandoah? That's pretty awesome.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
They sound just like their records.
Love it.
They're so much fun. And the venue was kind of like a amphitheater, but not, it was covered and it's a very established fair.
Cool.
So it was great, you know.
What's your favorite Shenandoah song?
I mean, everybody loves Two Dozen Roses, but I like Get Me to the Church on the Cumberland Road. Nice. Or
Church on the Cumberland.
I don't know. The Moon Over Georgia is good. But so is Next to You. There's different boxes,
so many good
different
ones.
Things, you know? I feel like we've heard Two Dozen Roses a lot here lately.
Yeah.
I like Church on Cumberland Road.
And that's got a great opening lick. That gets me going. That gets me moving. I know. I'm a big Ghost in This House guy. I'm a sucker.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Bubba?
Bubba Can Dance, I know.
Oh, man.
I forgot the shirt that I was going to wear over the weekend. And so I went to their merch booth and I was like, I forgot my shirt that I was going to wear. And I was really excited. I was going to do a get ready with me TikTok. And I was like, but I'm going to need one of your shirts. And they were having a 3 for 2. So I got two paid for two, one free. And I wore the one that's like, if Bubba can dance, I can too. And I thought, this is great.
That's great. I love it. That's so cool.
They were a little late to sound check because something was wrong with their bus. So by the time we went out to sound check, I already had hot rollers in my hair. My shirt said Bubba and I had hot rollers. And I was like, hey, everybody, I'll be back. This isn't real. I'll be back in an hour. And then
said, I'm ready to go.
It was so fun. Then when I got out there, I was like, now y'all know, you see this hair. Well, now you know what I did to get it for you. So it was fun.
Love that. That's so amazing. I'm a big fan of theirs. I have been for a long time, which is really funny because if you could imagine a 17-year-old kid in suburban New Jersey driving around listening to Shenandoah.
That's great. Know.
But it was great.
It is funny being up in New Jersey.
You gotta think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great. I think if you own it, no one gives a crap.
No.
If you really own it, no one cares.
That goes for anything.
That's right. I often wear I love cowboy boots. Love them. And I wear them a lot up here. I have probably more pairs than I need. And it's not even
that's
many.
That's
possible. I know exactly. And I know a guy that's got a lot more than I do. And I think I have a lot. I only have, I don't know, probably 7-8 pairs, but I wear them here a lot. And my friends will be like, I don't get it. I'm like, you don't have to get it. no one says anything if you're confident about it, because I know they look good. You don't have to get it. It's not the point.
It doesn't matter.
Just let it rock. Just
yeah.
Let it rock, right?
Yeah. You do your thing.
That's right. Just gotta be confident and do the thing. That's it. That's
yeah.
It. I'm good to go.
What's your favorite kind of boots?
Oh, man. Well, so, I mean, this is going to be a really generic answer, but 3.5 years ago, I bought my first pair of Tecovas. And I never looked back because they're just really great on my feet. But I have a goat leather pair that I love. It's probably my favorite boot.
A goat leather?
Yeah, it's goat. It's great. Okay. It's a little bit tougher than like a calfskin. It's not as soft as a calfskin.
Yeah.
They don't scuff as easy, and I like that. Like on the top. I don't have to condition them as much because the oils from your hands is what kind of for the goat. It's really great.
Love that.
And I just think that it's a great pair. It's a great boot, and I like to wear it all the time. And it's really good on my feet. I have a lizard that I love too. But
do you know do you know what full quill is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I'm really into this stuff.
Good, yeah.
I don't have any exotics yet, just based on just how much money they are and how much I want to spend.
Yeah, you take your time.
But I'll get there. You're working up to it.
It's fine.
I'll get there. There's this place by my house, surprisingly enough, like 15 minutes away, and they make all custom. They've been there for 50 years, and they make all custom boots. Some really, really nice ones. And and his prices are pretty good. They're still up there, obviously, but they're pretty good. So I'll get there eventually.
You're an urban cowboy.
A little bit.
The city.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I love it. I love it too.
So why don't we maybe backtrack just a little bit and kind of talk about how you ended up here. You know, it's obviously probably you know, a longer story than you want to tell, but how did you end up in Nashville knowing this is what you want to do forever? I love hearing everyone's perspectives. It's the coolest thing.
My sister had a record deal about a decade ago, and we both had our own things going in Texas, and she signed a record deal and then asked me to come up and sing harmony or background with her on the road. And she was opening for Brad Paisley, Rascal Flatts, Alan Jackson. And so that's what finally got me up to Nashville, because like I said, we both did the Texas thing, made records back home. But her coming up here was what finally made me make the move. And I've been up here and was the formula, so it seemed, was write songs, sign a publishing deal, then you end up with a record deal. And so I was writing songs, and it's funny being up here, there's not as many places to play as there are back home in Texas.
Sure.
So, you know, you look up and it's like, well, I've just been concentrating on writing. And I've never signed a publishing deal, still to this day. And I thought, not by choice. I mean, nobody's ever asked me if I wanted one. But that's when I reached the point where I thought, I didn't move here just to write songs. I wanted to be the next Reba McEntire.
Yeah.
So that's when I ended up making a project. And jump started my artist thing again.
Sure.
But yeah, my sister is what brought me here.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So cool.
So you got a musical family. That's pretty cool.
Yes. Our grandpa played in honky tonks back in the day. He and his wife, my grandma, they owned a bar.
Nice.
There's recordings of him. He had my dad and my uncles play in bands. So inadvertently, it's been down through the family chain.
Yeah, very, very cool. I Texas fascinates me. Just the idea of music in Texas. One, because I think I'd fit in.
For sure. You already got the boots.
Yeah, right. But two, I just think that that the love for music out there.
Yeah, you love it.
Is really, really, it's awesome. You know, like you have guys that have gone end to end in Texas, do very, very well, and people love them. People travel for them.
Right.
Like, you know, like I can name, I don't know, a bunch. Obviously, like Cody Johnson's the biggest one, right? He did it for 10 years prior to even touching, right? But, you know, like smaller guys like Will Bannister does great in Texas, Josh Ward. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many names that do really, really well in Texas. And I just love that people love music in Texas, and it's so important.
Yep. And there's places to play. Yeah. That's not a knock on any other place, no, but no, no. It just seems like there's places everywhere around Texas.
I think that it's so cool. And you mm-hmm. know, like, and I'm totally naive. I've never been to Texas. I really hope to get out there, but
yeah.
I'm naive to this, but there's, you know, like little general stores, right? That like they have lunch and you come in, there's a band playing, right?
Yes.
The Kenny store, one of my you know, buddies, his parents own the Kenny store out there. I can't remember what town it's in, but it's a great place. And
well, that's where
really
you need to go first.
I'm telling you, right? Yeah. I think it's really cool though. But why do you think that is? Like, why do you think that music is so rich there, but it may not be the same in other areas?
Well, it's because Texas thinks that it's its own country and they just try to do everything. You got a lot of people down there that just do what they want. It's an attitude.
It is.
It's so big. People just, I guess, started entertaining themselves. It just is carried on through time. I don't
you gotta know. Do something, right? You might as well entertain someone.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's so I'm really fascinated by the music love in Texas. I think it's really, mm-hmm. really, really, really awesome. And I joke around a lot, but my one of my really good friends is was actually down there literally this weekend for a music festival. I don't remember where they were, but I was like, man, why don't you tell me? I wouldn't come back. I'd just stay. I'd just take a one way and I'd just stay.
I feel like Texas was TikTok before TikTok existed. Like it was just everybody's out there doing it and hoping to get noticed and just there's something on every corner, you know?
Yeah. I love it. It's just mm-hmm. so great. What about TikTok? You're on TikTok. Your TikToks crack me up because you are honestly, authentically yourself. And I love that.
You know, Brett, and we all took a family vacation to Europe. Don't get me wrong. We ain't rich and taking trips like that all the time. It's like a once in a lifetime thing. But it feels so bougie to be like, well, we just got back from Europe. But I got back and I thought, I have tried to figure all of this out. And I've got friends who've got millions of followers on here for just things that they're saying and not even for their music.
Yeah.
And then I've got people who jumped on it early in 2020 and were playing and singing songs in their car. And I'm like, and they got lots of followers. I was like, I follow some people. I don't even know why I follow them. It's because I like to hear them tell stories. And I thought, I'm just going to start thoughts that I have to myself during the day that I would say to someone in the car with me. I'm just going to say it online.
Yeah.
And I would get so overwhelmed with what to cover. So now I've just started saying, I sing country music, make a request. And if I like what you make the request, then I'll cover it. I just, because you're right. Like a lot of people that know me and love me because of the things that I just say.
Right.
And so I was, and same thing at a live show. Like a lot of what makes mine interesting, I think, is the banter in between playing songs. So I thought, I'm not going to overthink it anymore. So that's where I'm at with it. So thank you.
I think it's great. You know why? Because I was one of those early in 2020 guys. And I like hated the app for so long, but I was just bored. Right. And I tell the story a lot, but in 2020, what would I do? I would hang out probably on this couch and drink beer and make TikToks. What else was there to do?
Yeah.
There was really nothing else to do. But that being said, I think that it's so much cooler, like with the app now, where you just post what you want.
Yeah.
And that's across all social media, to be honest with you. Like,
right, exactly.
I try and do that myself, just across all. Like, I don't care when I post it, what it says. If it's a good picture and I like it, it goes up. That's it.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm just experimenting with it, but I'm just trying to be myself. And we'll see what happens. So
I think that it's really cool that you'll get on there and just play a random song, just a song you like, not because it's trending or because, you know, it's like one of those songs that's, you know what I mean? Yeah. But
that's what gets overwhelming is as an artist, now you have to worry about all this stuff.
Right.
And I get super overwhelmed and can't decide. So I had to kind of backtrack and be like, what made me fall in love with all of this? I'm just going to start there. And hopefully I'll find my people organically through that. So that's where I'm at, you know?
Do you think that's something you had to tell yourself? Because, you know, you've, let's say you've been there 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you started this 10 years ago, right? A lot has changed in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, 10 years ago, you don't want to know what I look like 10 years ago. And I'm not that mature now, and I sure as hell wasn't that mature then, I'll tell you that. But what I'm saying is that a lot has changed within the industry and just life in general in the last 10 years.
Yes.
Social media, all that stuff. So it's this thing you have to navigate. And I'm sure for you, you really had to keep yourself motivated and kind of in line because, you know,
it's different. It's, yeah. But then, and everyone's waiting on you to have maybe a viral moment or whatever, but it's like catching lightning in a bottle. Yeah. You can't. So then you try to brainstorm every day what that would look like, and then you don't end up posting anything. So I just, once we got back from that trip, I was just like, this is how I've done everything the past few years. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to think about it so much. I'm just going to have fun because not that I haven't had fun, but this is where I'm at now.
Right.
Like, how do I want to feel, you know, however many years from
now? Right. Because at the end of the day, right, when you started this journey, like you started it because for the love of music and because it's fun. And that's what you want to keep doing, right?
Yes.
And I think that's so important. I'd also like to add that we recently became friends on TikTok. So now all your videos, like I scroll through my page and it's just you over. And I just sit there and I just watch.
Okay, good.
It's so great. I just go right through. It's awesome. It's like unlimited amounts. It's awesome.
It's also funny. I've posted a couple things and I thought, this was maybe like a controversy, you see. But I just thought this was funny. And so maybe like a couple people would be like, peace out. And I'm like, well, honestly, if I get down to it for a second, I'm like, oh no. And then I'm like, that person, they don't like me. They're not going to like me anyway. That's not who I'm going for. So
like, do you really want them there if they're not going to be?
They didn't get my humor. Like I probably got 20 more in his place.
That's right.
So, and I try to stay even keel about everything. I'm always just having a good time.
That's what I tell people. I do the same thing.
That's it. But
as well, right?
Today I just made one and said Britney Spears was spilling some tea. I didn't say what kind it was or what it was about. And somebody was like, so she said this. And I was like, that's not what I said. But
you just said it was tea. It was a general statement.
I just said she's got bubble tea, matcha tea, iced tea, sweet tea. What kind do you want?
That's it. You didn't go into specifics.
I didn't, and
you didn't have to. You didn't have to. That's part.
Any type of tea with her, but sure enough, one guy was like, and I thought, all right, cool.
let it go. I don't know. I agree with you though. I think that the second you stop taking that stuff as serious, the more fun it becomes. And you know, I had to tell myself that for a while, right? Like, I think you're so busy with looking at what other people are doing. And sometimes you're like, oh shit, like, you know, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. But you really don't. You can really just do what you want to do.
And there's no guarantee that what they're doing is going to work for you.
It's all about the long game. The one thing I think that I realized about TikTok pretty early on, and just social media in general, but you can't fake a stage presence or talent when you're up there, but you can do it when you're sitting in front of your phone and you can hit stop and go and stop and go.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Cause some of that stuff doesn't translate. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like that's the way I look at it because, you know, you have done music since before any of these things were a thing. You know what you're doing. And I don't mean to say it like this, but I have friends where that's the case. They are really, really good. They're super talented. They blew up on an app and they got a couple of doors open for them. And that's fantastic. But you gotta learn to elongate that.
They might not know how to walk through it and keep it open.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so,
I get it.
So that's what I think. And yeah. I think that, you know, social media should be fun. Use it as a tool. Keep it fun. That's the way I look at it. I want to talk about this, this album you put out in 2022, and I want that to lead into some stuff, but,
yes,
you know, it's a great record. It's
thank you.
Country of the core, country. And what I love about it, right, is I feel like in the last year and a half, 2 years ish, there's been this shift within the genre,
mm-hmm.
where more and more country, traditional country women are coming through and saying, this is what I got. You know, like, this is me. I'm authentically myself. Like, here's my sound. Love it if you love it. If you don't, that's okay too. But here it is. And you mentioned Reba, and like, that's where I see a lot of these comparisons. And I think that's so fantastic and
thank
so
you.
Great. Was this one of those things that was like a breath of fresh air, where it was, or a breath of fresh air, that? But I think that it's just so great. So I just want you to talk about it a little bit.
I was able to, like I said, Brett and I did the EP, and then getting signed to Show Dog through 30 Tigers, I had a little, probably bit more freedom than say lots of people would have. And they just said, repeat what you just did. So we just went out. I had written some of those songs. We found songs, and we just, Brett produced it. He hired
that's cool.
Full band. You know, we went in there and we just had fun, basically. Yeah. And I'm very, like, my voice and my phrasing is very traditional sounding, but Brett kind of having a foot in the top 40, and I know that even just since we've made that record, more stuff like that is starting to kind of come out,
yeah,
anyways, in the mainstream. But he was able to, the engineers, the people who master it and stuff, were still some of the people, you know, who are engineering and mastering Luke Combs' record. So yeah. And he's just one example, but so that's kind of how I think we ended up with the sound that we had. It was because of Full band having a good time, but then some of the people in town who are still mixing stuff for radio, so it kind of just sounded like a new neo-traditional, so to speak, yeah, or whatever. And we put it out. I was in the middle of a radio tour, and very sadly Toby has cancer, as everyone knows. So we kind of had to put that on pause, and we're kind of evaluating if we're going to, how we're going to finish all that out, yeah, or if I'm just going to maybe start recording some other stuff. I'm going to record some other stuff either way, but yeah, summer still may live to see another day.
No, wow.
It hasn't had its day necessarily. I don't know. It's because that was always the plan, was to take it to radio, and then right, things kind of just, unfortunately, because of his illness, so to speak, we're sure, getting shuffled around. So we're kind of in that. It's a great record. There's still so many people who haven't heard it.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I'm going to be honest, I'm not one of those people that has a bajillion streams. So yeah, if people watching this want to go stream it, go right on ahead. But
come,
like,
on.
So we don't know if it's, if we're completely closing that chapter yet. So, gotcha. But yeah, it's a great sounding record. It's got great songs on it. And
so good. Oh, I think that even if the doors open a crack and you don't know where it's going to go, I still think that, yeah, maybe it hasn't reached its full potential in terms of who's heard it. But that being said, I think that this album means a lot to a lot of people. A lot of people that really like this style of music, I think that it really does mean a lot.
That means a lot to me.
And that's for me as a fan, right, from the outside, yeah, in, I love to see good people win. Just what I, you know, like, I don't sit here to talk about myself. I sit here to talk about you guys. So, because no one wants to hear that. But what I'm getting at is that I think that it's really cool to, like, scroll through Instagram and see, oh, I love this album, and it's your album on the Instagram stories, yeah, or whatever it might be, right? Like,
yeah,
I think that that's really awesome, because it's a part of music that I really love. And, you know, for a while, we didn't know if we were going to get it back, right? Like, this type of country music.
Right. And it exists.
So cool to see it. And it's come
out there. It exists.
So I love it. I hope that door doesn't close. I hope I hope that door stays open.
I mean, even if that one closes, the next one, there'll be another record. So
of course. So do you know where you're going in that? Like when that time comes to record some stuff, do you have things? Do you have ideas already of what you want to do, or is it totally a blank slate? Or where are you going?
No, I have some ideas.
That's another
Zoom interview.
All right, I like that. I love that. Well,
I can't dive completely into that yet because I don't know if mentally I got to close the door on the other one.
Don't do it. Keep it open. Keep it open. Trust me, keep it open. I think it's important. Listen, I love this album. I love everything about you. I think you're absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
And, you know, I just this type of music means so much to me. You know, I'm a song guy. You know, that's something that's really, you know, close to my heart. And I'll continue to be that way. And I think that you are too. And maybe that's why.
Besides Summers Like That, do you have a favorite song on the record?
Do I have a favorite song on the record?
I'm only asking you because I want to tell you mine.
Okay, fantastic. I Remember That Woman.
Yeah. How do you know that? That's my favorite.
No, yeah, come on.
Is that your favorite?
That's probably my favorite.
I know, it's so good.
It's probably my favorite. That one really pulls my strings there. And then I love Steve Warner, so I mean,
I know.
But then also, like, it's hard to choose because I love Forget the Alamo too and Person That You Marry. So it's like asking me to pick my favorite candy. It's very hard.
I know, but I always say Remember That Woman, and that's a Karen Rochelle song.
Yeah.
Karen, here's the deal with that. She wrote that with Kent Blazy, who wrote like If Tomorrow
Never Comes.
And Kent's wife, Cindy. Because Kent and Karen were writing and they were talking about something. And then Cindy walked through the room and she goes, I remember that woman, because Karen was telling some story.
Sure.
And then they were like, what? And then they all sat down and wrote it. So Cindy, I don't even think writes that much, but it's the three of them. Kent, Cindy, and Karen.
That's so good.
I'm
a big Kent Blazy fan. Big time.
No, he's great.
Oh, it's so great. I love that song. Oh, man.
Me too.
Such a good one. I don't know. For me, like, I know I'm going to like a song probably 10 seconds in. If a song is great, I know I'm going to like it 10 seconds in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, you can kind of tell in the first verse. Even if it's, like, not lyrically mind-blowing, you can still tell, like, agreed. Yeah.
It's there's something about it. I'll never know how to explain it, but I don't know. For some reason, I love that song. I really do, really do. You know what would be really cool? Put it on vinyl.
Oh, it is on vinyl. I do have vinyl.
Ooh.
I'll mail you one.
Ooh, I'm behind.
The whole entire record?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll mail you one.
Come on. I'll love that. Okay. I love vinyl. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. It's my fault.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
Well, that's fantastic. Let me know. Let me know where to get it. I'll go buy it.
I'll mail you one.
I'll put it on here. All right. Fine. It's fantastic. I love it. But thanks for coming to hang out with me. Seriously,
let's do it again.
When you decide the direction you want to go with music, let me know. You know where to find me, and we'll figure it out, and we'll do it again.
Sounds good. We'll hang out on the TikTok in the meantime.
Listen, I'm on there. So are you. It's gonna be great. I won't do any of your videos though. I can't sing. You don't want to hear that. It's just,
okay.
No. Everybody, you can go follow Kimberly on Instagram at Kimberly Kelly Music, all one word. Stay up to date with music announcements, show announcements, all that good stuff. Go follow her on TikTok. Great TikTok. Yeah. Hilarious. Just absolutely hilarious person. Great human being. Go listen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's out now. It's been out, and it's just fantastic. If you love real country music and some traditional country music, you'll love this. So it's just absolutely fantastic. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, at 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to your pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. See you next week. I'm Kyle. That's Kimberly. Bye-bye.
See ya.